Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Marcia Stone, and I'm here with my co-host, Erica Spiegelman, where we will be bringing topics and guests to discuss wellness, inspiration, and support. We're so excited to be here, and Erica and I have decided that our very first podcast should be devoted to telling our listeners the story behind the podcast about our relationship, how we came together, and how we decided to bring our mutual interest and talents and experiences to the podcast world. So thank you for being here, Erica.
Yes, I'm so excited, and we are just so grateful to have this platform to discuss the most important things in life. And that's what we're going to do, is trying to help people learn that they can create any life they want. We're going to give people tips and tools. We're going to have on guests that have been inspiring others, creating businesses, our practitioners, doctors, artists, you know, anybody in every kind of walk of life is going to be probably on our shows. And so we're just excited to get it going. But I think most importantly, too, you know, every book I've ever read, when I was a literature major in college and I got my bachelor's in that, every book we read in one of the classes, we had to learn about the author before we read the book. And that was like, you know, always very moving to me, and it really helped me connect with the book more. And then I was also thinking, you know, that show Behind the Music, which VH1 did about bands and musicians and how their music came to be, which again is another art form of inspiration. So I thought, you know, this would be a great idea for us today. So that's what we're going to do, is kind of talk about the story of us.
Yes, yes. And so when I was thinking about this today, I was going back in my mind to the first time that I ever saw you or ever met you. And you know this, of course, but we were at the Del Coronado Hotel. Is that Newport Beach? My geography isn't great.
No, the Coronado is
San Diego.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coronado
That's
Island.
That's right. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. So we were there for
At an addiction conference, right? It was for treatment centers and treatment professionals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I was actually, my company was sponsoring your talk, and I remember when the conference organizer called me to ask me to be a sponsor for your talk, he said, you know, I can't wait for you to meet Erica. You guys are so similar. You both have such energy and such passion for helping people and communicating, you know, sort of the latest and greatest tips and tools to live your best life. And so I was really excited to meet you, and I remember walking into the room, and you had on this beautiful purple dress, and I just thought to myself, wow, that woman has so much energy and so much charisma that I just felt drawn to you immediately. I don't mean to fangirl about it over here, but that was my first impression. Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah, well, I felt the same. I thought you had just like a glowing, like shining light around you, which you do, and you always still do. But I absolutely remember that, and your smile and everything. And I was like, wow, someone should have told me that this was going to be such like, I think, you know, like a match kind of in terms of working together and things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we then had lunch and we got to know each other a little bit better. And then, you know, it rolled from there. I think our audience, Marcia, should know too that, you know, I'm a certified addiction counselor. I'm an author, a speaker, and someone that has created some programs around recovery and wellness. And you, can you give your background a little bit, just so people know what you do?
Absolutely. Well, my background in education is in law, and you know, I graduated from law school in 1999. That seems so long ago now. And I practiced law for about 10 years. And, you know, during that time, I'm very open about this. I don't, you know, try to hide or, you know, put anything in the closet. I really struggled with alcoholism during that 10-year period. And it was just such a very hard time because I did not have education or, you know, any sort of reference point for what was going on. And so I ended up going to, you know, to get help and through amazing treatment and amazing physicians and therapists, et cetera, I was able to really learn about what was going on within my body and within my mind and find recovery. And once that happened, I just was so excited because I felt like, you know, I had a second chance at life in a way. And I just became really interested in recovery and treatment and what helps to help people that are struggling. And I started working at a treatment center in Texas, and just through a strange series of events, ended up becoming the CEO of that treatment center, and then buying the program and expanding the program into what is now called BRC Healthcare. And I serve as founder and chief strategy officer because we have, you know, so many employees and just amazing professionals that are, you know, leading the way with the business at this point. But it's just, you know, has always, I'm always really happy to talk about that because I think that when people are struggling, they feel very hopeless, or I'll say I felt very hopeless. And so, you know, to be women that are, you know, in recovery and have had, you know, the opportunity to come through that and find not only freedom, but happiness and abundance, you know, is such a gift.
Yes.
Such
amazing.
A gift. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a gift. I know. Yeah. And I mean, you know, for listeners out there too, I've been sober myself for 14 years and, you know, still every day stay connected to that world because we do this professionally. So it's something that, you know, I think we both walk the walk, we talk the talk. We, I think for me at least, it's helped save my life to be able to stay connected to this kind of topic of health, wellness, and recovery. I don't necessarily reflect on that time of my life or, you know, use language for me that, you know, I think keeps me trapped in a role that I'm not anymore. But I do believe there are so many paths to freedom and to recovery, and each individual has to find their own. And there's so many great ways out there. And I think that's what the show's about too, is highlighting how other people have emerged, rewired their lives, you know, created new pathways. Because that's what happens when you change your life, you get sober, you reframe your ideas, your thought habits, your actual physical habits, you know. And so I think that's why this is an important subject matter for everybody.
No, I think you're right 100%, because it just so happened that for me, it was, you know, the pain came up through drinking. But I think, you know, there's, like you said, so many different paths to recovery, but also so many different paths that bring us into recovery, to the realization, you know, that something has to change, and be willing to look at that, you know. But Erica, one question I wanted to ask you today, I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but somebody asked me this the other day, and it was, you know, really caused me to think. But if someone says to you, Erica, what is your why? What is your why for, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're excited to talk to people on a podcast or write a book, you know, or, you know, be a therapist? What is your why that brings you to, you know, this chosen path?
It's to save lives. Like I've said this, I think for me, that's it, like to save lives. I worked for a treatment center. And so when I got sober myself, I had never, you know, in that dark, deep hole of spiritlessness and I think drowning in like the lifestyle I was in and didn't know how to get out. I had never really had exercise as a part of my life at that point, because obviously it wasn't functional. But when I did change my life, I did get sober, I started to walk a block and then walk, you know, half a mile and then a mile, and then I'd run and I'd run a block and then I'd run two blocks. And then all of a sudden I became a runner and I was running 30, 40 minutes every day. And that was part of my non-negotiable routine that, you know, I think helped save my life, which is to honor my body, my spirit, my emotional life. I was able to think and move it all at the same time. So running became, you know, a very important habit for me, and it did change my pathways for the better. And And I started working at a treatment center, and we were raising money to do the marathon, the LA Marathon. And I was like, no, I mean, I only ran 30 minutes a day. It wasn't like I was running long periods of time or even long, you know, distances. But I, you know, the man that ran the center says, I know you run in the mornings. You're doing this marathon. And the kind of slogan of, you know, he asked, why would you run this marathon? Why? And what is our purpose in raising money? And it was to save lives. It was to get beds for people that couldn't afford the beds. And so from then on, it was like, that is my purpose for running this. And I made it the whole marathon. I did it. I actually did
it. Wow, that's amazing.
I did.
Wow.
I mean, it was amazing. I can't even tell you. I had never run longer than 4 miles. Like that's all I did every morning. And 4 miles is a lot, but it wasn't 26 miles. So I remembered like just at mile 10, somebody, this random person next to me said, you got this, you can do this, just like focus on the next mile and focus on the next mile. And so I completed it. But I remember when we found out how much money we raised and how many beds we were able to provide, I said, wow, you know, saving lives. And I think just that kind of resonated during that period of time. And then ever since then, when I get new clients or I'm writing a book or we're creating a workbook together, which Marsha and I have, like anytime there's something that is related to helping others, I really think of it as like saving a life. And that's literal, but also just like, you know, saving someone from emotional distress or saving somebody from mental illness or saving somebody, you know, from just anxiety, showing them how to reframe, showing them a different lens, showing them that there's hope, showing them tips and tools in the path forward, you know? So all of that, I think, is what it encompasses.
Yes, I love that. I love that you said it's this running or walking was non-negotiable. I love that word because to me, what that means is I have made a firm decision and I'm sticking by that decision to take care of myself, you know, in whatever way that is.
It's a boundary.
Yes, yeah. I love that.
And tell me your why, Marsha. I want to know your why.
So, you know, I mean, it's very similar to yours. I think, you know, for me, alcoholism for me was so confusing because I had always been a very strong-willed person to, you know, if I made up my mind I wanted to do something, then I could do it. You know, I went through law school as a single mom, and I was the first female prosecutor in the Southern Judicial District down in Georgia, which is my hometown.
Amazing.
And so, you know, I was able to do lots of things that I, you know, wanted to do. But when it came to my relationship with alcohol, it was like I would wake up every morning and make a decision not to drink that day, and I couldn't pull off that decision. And so that whole part of my life was just filled with confusion, and, you know, I felt, you know, ashamed because I couldn't do it. And I, you know, was hiding a lot of behaviors. And so, you know, my why is that now I understand it, and now I can talk to people and help people to understand, you know, what's going on within their brain and in their body that you know, is not, this is what I say, you know, recovery has made me able to match my intentions with my actions. And so my why is really sharing that with people, and just sharing, you know, the truth about what's going on, that it's not a moral failure. No matter, like we said before, it doesn't matter whether it's alcohol or drugs or shopping or sex or relationships, whatever, gambling, anything, whatever is, you know, the thing that, you know, you can't control in your own life that's causing you, you know, pain and consequences. To be able to say, you know, I understand, and this is what's going on, and this is the way out, or a way out, and to just be really honest and open and transparent about that. That's, to me, like, the biggest gift is I don't have to, you know, hide or be afraid that something's, you know, going to come out that I don't want to come out. I mean, you know, and that type of freedom, I think, is my why, that I can share that with other people. Because I just, you know, it's the best, as you know.
I love that.
It's the best.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I think too, that's why today we were talking about honesty and honesty with yourself and, you know, just, you know, I think for me too, like one of the most powerful things is the oath I took to myself, no more self-betrayal, no more self-betrayal, you know.
Oh, like I got chill bumps.
To me, really important.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing around being honest with yourself. Like, you know, we could be in deep denial, all of us, but in so many facets and layers of our lives, we could be in denial of our relationships. We could be denial of, you know, our habits, of, you know, our intention, all these things. But again, it's like, but if you take the oath, no more self-betrayal. Because I think that feeling of spiritlessness or depression yeah. and anxiety and all that comes from us somehow, you know, manipulating the truth to some extent. And so I always tell people too, I think, to look at your narrative, like what kind of family did you grow up in? Was there someone that told you truth telling wasn't necessary? Or did someone say to you, like, you know, we can't tell anyone about your brother, mm-hmm. or don't tell anyone about this, or let's keep a secret about that, or let's not talk about that. Even let's not talk about that mm-hmm. is the message that we can't tell the truth, right? So there's so many like narratives that come into play when it comes to, you know, honesty and all these other topics that I think, you know, we talk about a lot together. And so I think that's what too is important to kind of talk about, what's behind these topics as well.
Right. No, I totally agree. You know, and then I was just thinking also about how honesty has played such a huge part in our relationship, mine and your relationship, because I remember I invited you to come out to Austin to do a training with my employees some years ago. And, you know, and I asked you, so Erica, like, what will you guys be working on? And you know, what will you be training them on and teaching them about? Because, we had talked about, like, just kind of general things. And so I just remember, like, you had such clarity with, you know, what you were going to do, what you were capable of doing. And then, you know, of course, you came out to Austin and we ended up spending some time together. But, you know, for me, one of the most attractive characteristics of a person is their ability to be honest and their ability to be self-aware. And I think that really, for me, that's the basis of our relationship and really any good relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why I got on this topic too is just so that, you know, you said being transparent with people. And, you know, so I feel like that's too another word that kind of relates to honesty. But yes, I do know what you mean. And I think that a lot of, I think, successful relationships obviously come from trust. And I think when you're honest, you know, trust can be built. And, you know, I think a lot of people that are maybe just early on and recovering from whatever they're recovering from have to learn to trust others again, trust themselves again. And so, you know, that's something that does take time, but there is so much hope because there are so many great people out there. There's great relationships
yes.
to have, but, and the one with yourself, most importantly, because,
right.
you know, if you can't, you know, I knew I had gotten better when I literally said to someone, I feel safe within myself. Mm. Like I feel literally safe within myself. Whereas before, you know, I couldn't trust that I would do the right thing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Because of the way that addiction had hijacked every part of my life.
Yeah, so, well, just what
to,
I was
to
saying.
Find that freedom.
Intentions versus yeah. actions, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
I was going to ask you, so now that you have arrived at this point in your life and you have a lot of sobriety under your belt, you have, you know, a lot of success in business, people look up to you, you are a mentor, you are, you know, someone that is a pillar in your community. So now that all this has come, what do you do in terms of self-care day to day that you have sustained this level of balance, I would say,
yeah.
you know, I mean, I know not every day is perfect because we're human, but for you, what helps you now, like, sustain peace internally?
No, I love that question. And I think it's so important because, you know, one of the things we say in Texas is, you know, sobriety is not a sprint, it's a marathon, you know? And so there has to be little things that are done every day to keep you in good spiritual condition. And so definitely for me, I mean, it sounds so simple when you say it out loud, but I really honor the time that I need to sleep and rest. You know,
yeah.
I really do. And
so important.
It is. And it's something that I used to always shortchange myself over the years. And I never really realized, mm-hmm. you know, what a detriment that was, but I definitely, you know, I've invested in like a nice pillows and nice, you know, like bedding and stuff. And so I really, you know, honor my sleep. I'm not saying I sleep all the time, but I sleep at least 7 or 8 hours, no more than 8 usually. But I do that. And then I have, like, you know, a practice in the morning where I read some inspirational, you know, books. And I just, it's been all kinds of different books over the years. And, you know, just to devote some time to, you know, starting my day off with clarity. And then another thing that I do is I still serve as like a mentor to 5 or 6 women, just kind of depending on, you know, who's active at the time. And I always spend some time each day helping someone else, because I think that that is such an important part, and not like a client, or not like, you know, something in some structured way, just some person that has come into my life for one reason or another that I can be helpful to. So, you know, staying close to my higher power through, you know, prayer and meditation is important to me, and helping others is important to me. And another thing that's important to me is making sure that I spend some time with my husband. I've been married for 20 years almost this next summer. And, you know,
that's amazing. Congrats.
Thanks.
Big one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, honoring my relationship with my life partner. And
right.
Yeah. And also, trying to, you know, put healthy food into my body and not just, you know, I think a lot of us are guilty of sort of eating on the run. And so I try to make it a point to, you know, address mind, body, and spirit in some way each day.
That's amazing. Yes, I ditto. Yes, I think that is also part of my treatment plan for my life.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, is to
what do you do?
Attend to the mind, body, and spirit every day. Well, I mean, I think what's been the most helpful for me is routine. When we talk about rewiring the brain, repetition. It, you know, we can go and create, you know, habits that bring us pain and fear and, you know, and negativity, like creating bad habits. We could do that easily over and over again, right? We start smoking, we start drinking. But again, if we, you know, stop walking down that path, and as, you know, most of us have walked or hiked or done something like that before, as we start walking down a new path, you could see your footprints more clear and more clear and more clear. So if you start choosing positive habits, that pathway will become, you know, it will become more clear to you. You'll see your footprints easy. You know how to get there better if you keep doing those positive, let's say, habits every single day. So for me, it was really powerful, and I changed my life to create routines. And it's still to this day very important for me, is to keep my routine around exercise, you know, having a non-negotiable hour in the morning. I don't necessarily need to use an hour for exercise, but it's the hour to get ready, you know, have a little moment of gratitude, put on my shoes, take a walk for 30, 40 minutes, come home, take a rest for a second before my work day begins. So for me, like, that's part of my routine. Like you said, eating nutritious foods, sleeping is extremely important. I have to be in bed by a certain time.
Me too.
It's a running joke with me and my husband.
It's really, like, critical, you know, though. I agree. I think a lot of people sell themselves short when they're not paying attention to that.
Yeah, it's true. It really is. And I think, you know, that's why in my second book, The Rewired Life, like, that, it's a whole, I devoted a whole chapter on sleep. And I worked with the Mayo Clinic, and I talked to a lot of professionals and scientists about the importance of sleep. There's some great books on sleep that people could read. But it's when we reset, regenerate, you know, recharge, like, our body digests, like, our metabolism slows down so that it could get back to this, like, you know, there's just so much going on that we don't even know about. Our deep sleep, our REM sleep, the latency around sleep, how quick we actually fall asleep, if we stay asleep, like, you know, so all these things, there's a lot around that we can learn about. But yeah, I think
totally.
Routine has been helpful in rewiring my brain in the right way. And you know, even to this point, like, when you travel or when I do something else, like, if my routine goes out the window for a day or two, that's okay. Like, that doesn't bother me as much anymore. But I think overall, it gives me structure, and I feel safe because I know that the things that bring me joy are part of my life every day, you know, that keep me balanced.
Right. Well, yeah. And so another thing I was thinking about that's happened in your life since I've known you is that you have 2 young kids, and, you know, in pretty quick succession. So that had to be a major adjustment, I would say, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I was just going to ask you to tell the audience how many children you have, too. But we're both mamas.
I have a basketball team of children.
Yeah. You want to tell them quick how many?
Yeah. I have 5 children. I have 3 children from my first marriage. My first husband passed away. And those 3 kids are in their late 20s and early 30s now. And then I have a stepson who is 21, but, you know, technically he's my stepson, but he's, you know, I consider him just like my other children. And then my husband and I have our, quote, baby, and he is 16 now. So all my kids are up and, you know, moving around and driving themselves around and scaring me half to death. But it seems like 5 minutes ago that they were like your kids' age.
Right,
that
yeah.
That they were small.
Yeah, it's been a major, I mean, it's, God, I like, you know, sometimes don't even know how to process it all. Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, wow, I'm a mom, or like this child's calling me mommy. You know, it's a trip. It really is. I think it takes a while to get used to. And I've talked to people that have kids like that are teenagers, and they're like, I still drop off my kid, and I'm like, wow, I'm the mom that's dropping off her kid in a van. You know, it's just really. I think it's just funny because your identity. Yeah, your identity shifts so much so fast, and you really have to become selfless. Like it's been a challenge for me to keep the balance. But you know what? I knew when I had. I had my son in 2018. In December of 2018, I had my son, Julian, and he was 3.5 months old when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, Mia. So
wow.
I had just recovered, you know, that was like the postpartum time. It had just ended, basically, or maybe it was still going on. But yeah, so I didn't have a chance to really lose weight. I didn't have a chance to like even get my hormones kind of back in check. But I embraced it, and it was a blessing. And she was a miracle that we were, you know, pregnant with her. And
so good.
Yeah. So I mean, I had her, and then after that, you know, I was like, wow, I had. Back pain to the point where I was going to a chiropractor and a physical therapist. I had sciatica. Mm. I had so much going on because my body was just like, you know, I think under a lot of distress from
tired.
The second one. Yeah. And so after I had her, I was like, wow, I have 50 pounds to lose. I have, you know, pain, I have all this stuff going on. And it was then the pandemic, boom, like, you know, 2 months after she was born. And so the lockdown was kind of helpful. And I just said, non-negotiable, Erica, non-negotiable. I arranged all my clients, you know, to start like at, you know, 10. So I had like an hour in the morning, and I just started running again. I started, first walking and then kind of trying to run. And then, you know, it's a lot to get back to that. But I moved every day. And I started watching what I was eating. And you know what? By 9 months later, it was gone. All the weight was gone. And I felt, you know, a little stronger. But again, like it was hard to kind of take me, you know, kind of create that time for myself. But I did it. And I think that's why it's so important. I think it really helped.
You should be really proud of that.
Thank you. I think it helped all those years before having those routines in place, because it was kind of like, oh, I remember. This is like, it's like muscle memory kind of, you know?
Yes. So I love that.
I think that's why it's helpful. Because even if your routine stops, or you have a pregnancy, or something in life comes up where you, you know, can't be in that same health space that you were, you will remember how, and you will have that discipline, and you will know that you can do it because you've done it before. And I think that's really powerful. I always tell my clients, look back on all you've done. Like when you're overthinking something, or when you're in doubt of yourself, look at how far you've come. Look at all write down your successes, write down what you have accomplished, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think sometimes what happens is we feel like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I've drifted so far. But the truth is,
I can't come back.
You just, and if you just, you know, start to put a few simple things in place that you remember, you know, just you can come back to balance really quickly if you've been in balance, you know.
But
I mean, you know, and it's so interesting because you and I didn't talk very much during those couple years. You know, I'd see you on Facebook, and you know, I've always thought your children were beautiful, and vice versa. I'm sure you saw like, you know, my kids graduating and getting married and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But But so you took a little break, and then I guess it was maybe like a few months ago, you called me and talked to me about, you know, coming together to do a podcast together. And I have to tell you, you know, I was, first of all, I was so honored. So thank you for thinking of me.
It's my honor. Well,
but it was perfect. It was, you know, higher power, the universe, God, perfect timing, because I was at this place where, you know, I'd brought some investors into to my company. And so my role there was shifting to where I wasn't as involved as much in the day to day, but still, you know, heavily involved in strategy. But, you know, there was, it's like that there was a little opening, and, you know, in terms of time and you know, what I wanted to start to do in, you know, the next chapter of life or whatever. And so when you called me, it just felt so right. And I don't know if you have this experience, but when things are, you know, meant to be, it's like everything just comes together so seamlessly. And, you know, it's not a fight, it's not a struggle, it's not, you know, anything that is, you know, gut-wrenching or hand-wringing or any of that. And so when I think about what was happening in your life and kind of what was happening in my life, it's always just, it's just nothing short of miraculous to me to watch how when you're really, you know, in the stream of life doing the next right principle thing, opportunities just come and, you know, relationships just form and flourish. And, you know, I love it when I have sort of those aha moments like, wow, you know, look at everything that happened to bring us to this moment.
Right. And you know what people don't know too is that, so, I mean, I try and tap into this like intuition I get sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but a lot of the times, or you know, so for instance, so when I was thinking of writing a workbook for my book Rewired, I asked Marcia to be my co-author on the Rewired workbook, and so Marcia is the co-author for the Rewired workbook, and it was after I came and met you and did the training at BRC, and it was like I was standing there, and I don't know, I think I mentioned it to you then, and then we started talking about it, but it came to me like this woman would be fantastic to co-create, like in general, like, and then I was like thinking, well, it would be nice to have a co-author for the workbook, and then, you know, so that's kind of where it hit me, and I asked you to collaborate on that. So that was number one, and then like you said too, I think I was just saying this to my husband the other night, it's so weird how times in your life, like having kids, for instance, I didn't feel, I always call it like a muse, you know, with like when you're a writer, like you feel like inspiration, let's just say for now, like inspiration to do more than I was doing then. I couldn't at that point. I had to like buckle down and breastfeed or raise a baby. And, you know, I really didn't have the capacity emotionally, mentally, or otherwise to create the podcast again. I had a podcast before this one, for many years with Radio MD, this fabulous podcast platform, this company. But I was like, not time then. And it wasn't time then to, you know, create the program I'm creating now. Or it wasn't, you know, and then all of a sudden, like you said, it's like this intuition I got again. And I felt a pull and I felt inspired. And then I thought of you again as soon as I was ready to kind of do the podcast. And I thought, well, I want a co-creator. And who would that be? Yeah. And it was you that came. So that's why I asked you too.
Well,
yeah,
that's amazing.
But this is pure, like, I do think it's intuition or it's spirit or it's something else. You know, it's maybe it is me, but I'm listening in a different way than I am like in the day to day world. You know.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things I talk to people a lot about, you know, when I'm doing, you know, some sort of conflict resolution meeting, it's, you know, the prayer is always for, you know, the outcome to be for the highest good for all, right? I believe that gratitude is the highest form of prayer for me. And so to be grateful for, you know, the opportunities, you know, and grateful for the solid foundation of relationships. I mean, I flew out to California like 2 weeks ago so we could get a picture taken for, you know, the materials and all that stuff. Yeah, and I hadn't seen you in person, and I don't even know how long, like 5 years, but it was like, you know, like we had talked like last week, and we just picked back up, and we had dinner, and, you know, and to me, that's what, you know, when it's right, it feels right, and it's cool to be present and to be awake to, you know, what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that maybe our listeners can also just recognize today, or at least set an intention for today, is to kind of trust yourself, you know, tune in and trust yourself.
That's kind of the theme of what's come out of this conversation.
Yeah, it is. It's to tune in and trust, which I think a lot of us, you know, have moments of self-doubt, or we talk ourselves out of it, or someone else in our life may be doing that too. And so it's good to get clear on, you know, again, your why, but your, you know, not someone else's should, but your should, and you know, just feel what brings you joy and what, you know, lights you up and what is going to give you that feeling of being inspired.
Yeah, I wrote, you know, first of all, today's my birthday, Erica. So
happy birthday!
Well,
oh my God,
you.
We should have started with that.
Oh,
I did not realize.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Marsha.
Thank you.
Yay. What a special day. You did not even tell me. I can't even believe it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we've been planning on this date to start, and I'd never mentioned it was your birthday.
Well, honestly, I mean, it felt like a big gift to me, you know. So, and maybe to you too.
Oh my
too,
God.
I wrote this thing.
Well, this is a gift. We get to do our first show. Yeah.
I know. And just this why question, I posted mm-hmm. on Facebook today, and I said, you know, every year I try to think of like a mantra for, you know, what is, you know, the focus for next year. And so I wrote that, you know, it's not only, you know, understanding the why and why you're called to certain paths or why you're called to certain, you know, activities in your life, but also the how, right? There's the why, and then there's the how. How do you do it? And so, you know, in recovery circles, like how stands for honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of what I have adapted for myself, you know, through this next year, because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with, you know, our podcast. I hope that tons of people tune in and listen and are really blessed by our guest and our experience and our conversations. And, you know, just to stay curious and open-minded and, you know, willing to take some risk. And so that's where I'm at today.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that mantra, and I love that intention. And I'm so, oh my God, happy birthday. This is great. This is, I know, and I wish you, you know, fulfillment and meaning and, you know, endless love for the whole year to come. That's really important too. Yeah.
Thank you.
I you know, just want everybody that is listening to know too that although, you know, we do this professionally, like I think you and I both feel like we're very grounded too. Like we, you know, we're in this world of health and wellness, but I think we are not perfect. And like you said, I think it's important to know that, like, I think at least for me, every couple months I do like an inventory kind of on what do I need to kind of work on? What are, like, you just kind of reminded me of that with your intention for the year, you know, the year to come. I love doing that on my birthday too, but just always, you know, to kind of, there's always work to do on ourselves, no matter if we're professionals in this field, if we, you know, tell people, you know, what they should be doing. It's always harder to do that for yourself. So I think it's important people, listeners know too, that, you know, just having that self-awareness, that check-in with yourself is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
Asking yourself, you know, what are my goals? Like, let's write them down. Or what are my, you know, what are my fears right now? Or what are my insecurities? Or what it could be possibly holding me back from something. Because I think this clarity, like we were just saying, clarity goes so far, like manifesting. Oh my gosh, what you said to me when you were out here really resonated, that you have used manifestation as something that has helped you achieve certain things in life. Can you tell everyone about that? But I think this goes with that conversation around clarity.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, one of my first mentors in this whole, you know, line of work and just in recovery and treatment in general was this man named Mark Houston. And Mark Houston taught me the manifestation tool that he used. He's passed away now, but that he taught me, and I've taught, you know, probably hundreds of other people, is that you make I am statements. And the thought behind that basically is, mm-hmm. you know, if you think it and then you speak it into existence, you know, the universe has no choice but to begin to rearrange itself for your intention. And so, like, for example, when I first was coming into recovery, I made, you know, like 10 I am statements, and I wrote them down, and I would say them every day. And, you know, one of them was, you know, I am a healthy mother present with my children, because at that time my kids weren't living with me, right? Because I was in, like, you know, sober living. And then, you know, I am a homeowner, and, you know, I am helping others. And so, in other words, it's almost like, you know, you're saying things that as if they are that haven't actually happened yet. The idea around it is there's two types of, you know, prayer or talking to higher power, which is, you know, prayers of supplication, begging, like foxhole prayers. And then there's prayers of gratitude. So it's kind of like, you know, I am the owner of BRC recovery. And I was saying that I am prayer for years before I actually was, you know. And then one thing I did on my I am statements last year is I am, I just got chill bumps, Erica, because I just remembered. I had written down, like, you know, I am on television and in media talking about recovery and helping others. See? And now we're doing this podcast. You know, just stuff like that. Wow. Just things that I feel led to, you know, to put out there that, you know, this is what's inside me that you know, wants to blossom into reality.
Exactly. Your goals, your dreams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I do too. And what's really fun is I can look back at years past and see that they all come true. They might not come true in the way that you think or in the timeline that you think, but they all come true because you're making, you know, these steps toward, you know, what it is that your heart is speaking to you that you can contribute to the world.
Right, right. And it's kind of also like making the decision too, like the accountability in a sense as well. Like, I feel like if you say, you know, I am, so when I wanted to write a book and I thought of Rewired.
Like, I am an author, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I said to my friend, I was walking New York City and I said to her, I was visiting there and I said, I'm going to write a book this year. And this was right when I got the idea.
See, there you go.
Yeah, and because I said it out loud, maybe to the universe, maybe to her, maybe to myself, there was an accountability, but there was also, I think with that statement, there was like action. Part of it felt actionable. Yeah, and it shifted into like me actually picking up a pen and starting to write the outlines, you know. So it's very powerful. And I hope we can provide little tools like this for our audience too, with every show.
Well, yeah, and you know, when I got the sketch back from the graphics person, and they had, you know, written down what we had talked about, you know, like, what do we want to do with this platform? And the three words that they wrote, as you know, are wellness, inspiration, and support. And I love that because it really sets up the framework. You know, we want to give information about wellness. We want to inspire others that they can be whatever it is that they want to be, and then to support them in that process. Because I think, especially as women, but just, you know, men also, and just, you know, like a community of people, whoever they are, to support one another and, you know, to cheer each other on or lift each other up through, you know, the process of change, whatever that change is.
Yeah.
As we, you know, literally rewire the way we're thinking about what's possible.
Yeah, no, it's true. It really is. Yeah. And too, I was just, as I was talking to these women this morning, I was giving some actual, like, I would say actionable tips, like, meaning like today, what can you do? And I think that that's important too, is that, like, just this manifesting tip of I am, it would really help a bunch of people. And, like, you know, for overthinkers, replacing the what ifs, like, what if this doesn't happen? What if I don't get the job? What if he doesn't like me? With,
oh, I read your article, by the way. It was amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. With what we'll see. So replace what if with we'll see. And like a little tip like that had changed my life. It really helped me, you know, if I replaced, you know, what if I always said this, what if I don't, you know, no, we'll see. We'll see what happens, Erica. You know, and I talk myself through everything in life. You know, I am my own champion and my own coach in a way. You know, I have to like get myself through all these cognitive issues. But I think it's great. And I want us to, you know, every show too, to give people an actionable tip and tool.
So one thing I was thinking about, and we talked a little bit about it when I was in California, is like, at the end of every segment, we would ask our guest, and maybe now we'll ask ourselves to do our deep dive.
Yes, we'll do it now since we're coming to the end.
Yeah, and so deep dive, what is your greatest fear? And then what is your superpower? Do you want to go first?
You go first, since it's your birthday.
Okay. Yeah, I think my greatest fear is being alone and being, you know, rejected. I think that's probably my greatest fear. And then I think that my superpower is, I think my superpower is that I have a way of talking to people that they can connect with me and they can see some possibilities. I guess another way of saying that is I'm inspirational to people, I think.
That's great. That's great. I love that. I love that. I think my greatest fear is probably loss, like loss of people, or, you know, loss of life of the people I love, death. I think I have probably some fear around that. Just not day to day does that fear creep up, but I feel like there's so much for me to do in my life, and that there's, you know, and also having kids, maybe this is just why it's more palpable right now, that I think this has been my fear recently. Fears have changed through the years for me. You know, fear of not succeeding in my book, for sure. That lasted a year, and then the book did really, you know, did well, and it's done well. But, you know, so that's changed. But right now, I think having kids, I just have a fear of not, I want to watch them grow, and I want to be there. And I always have that fear of, you know, I had them a little later on in life. So, that's pretty much a fear. And then superpower, relatability. I mean, I would say just that. I feel like people can relate to me, and I could relate to people from all walks of life. I've always felt that way when I was a little girl. Like, I had literally, I'm not joking, like an 88-year-old best friend who was like my grandfather's friend. Yeah, and I was like a little girl. I remember in first grade, you know, you have to say like your first color, who your favorite actor is, my favorite actor was George Burns. He was 99. No, I'm not joking. He was 99. I just always had like, I always just felt very connected to different kinds of people. And all my friends growing up in high school were from different cultures. My best friend was Lebanese. My other one was Mexican, you know, and I kind of grew up traveling. So I don't know. I feel like being relatable.
I like that.
Maybe a superpower.
And I would actually agree with that about you. That's so good. Well, this has been so fun.
Yes. Thank you for listening, everyone, to our first show. We are so grateful that you have joined us, and that, you know, hopefully you'll keep coming back and, you know, enjoying the guests that we have that are changing the world, that are going to be sharing their experiences, that, you know, their hope and how they arrived at a place of success for themselves and what that means to them, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. And thank you again to all the listeners for being here and starting this journey with us. And we hope it's going to be as meaningful and impactful.
A beautiful one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to sign off. Thank you for joining us. I'm Erica Spiegelman.
And I'm Marcia Stone.
Be well.